We begin with an update on COVID-19 data from the state COVID dashboard. All of the major metrics continue to rise steadily, as they have been doing since the middle of November. COVID particles in wastewater and hospitalizations are both up statewide, and Durham, Orange, and Chatham counties continue to be on the moderate level of community spread category. Locally, UNC Health Director of News Alan Wolf tells 97.9 The Hill there are currently about 320 patients hospitalized in the UNC system who are COVID positive. And UNC physicians say the next couple of weeks will be critical in understanding if this wave has peaked or if it is still climbing. Some better news from UNC Health. Alan Wolf also tells 97.9 The Hill that the pediatric surge ward that opened back in November closed over Christmas after accomplishing its goal of easing the strain on Children's Hospital after a surge in respiratory illnesses among children was causing some number issues there at the Children's Hospital. The number of those illnesses has come down significantly since they peaked back in December. We go to local government now, where the 2022 election cycle brought about many changes among our community's representation at the state and federal level, but there is also a big change for Orange and Chatham counties at the district attorney level. After winning the Democratic primary in May, Jeff Niemann was officially sworn into that role on Monday with a ceremony in the Orange County Courthouse. 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell was there, and he spoke with Niemann.
Everyone, no matter where they fall in the political spectrum or how they feel about all kinds of things, everyone believes that we need to have a fair criminal justice system.
On Monday afternoon, in between shaking hands, receiving hugs, and offering dozens of thank yous, Jeff Niemann shared his vision and passion for Orange and Chatham County's district attorney's office.
What seems to be the consensus is that there's nobody who has a greater ability to move at the local level a criminal justice system in the more positive, progressive, equitable, fair direction than the DA.
Minutes before, Niemann was sworn in during a ceremony that filled the mural courtroom in the Orange County Courthouse. Colleagues, community partners, friends, and family applauded as he took his oath, becoming just the fourth DA in prosecutorial District 18 in the last four decades. Niemann's campaign for the Democratic primary, in which he defeated Kaylee Tabor with about 60% of the vote, was based on similar themes as those he spoke about Monday. During his closing comments, the Chapel Hill native described how he bases his actions on the belief that all people deserve dignity and respect, from decision makers and representation in the criminal justice system to victims and defendants going through it. Among the other speakers during the ceremony was Niemann's father, John, who is a public defender in Guilford County. John described his son's efforts preparing for this moment and said he was proud of Jeff's honesty, sense of fairness, and steadfast holding to his values. One example, John said, is his son's stance against using the death penalty.
I practice in a district where they routinely use the death penalty to elicit pleas of life without parole. And from prosecutors who I know don't believe in the death penalty. And so that courage is something, one of the many things, I'm very proud of my son.
Another speaker who credited Niemann's dedication was outgoing DA Jim Woodall, who retired after 31 years of being in the district's office. Woodall told 97.9 The Hill he remembers his own transition from assistant DA to the lead role. He said he's been preparing Niemann's expectations for the increase in responsibility.
He has to make the final decision on so many different things. And it's everything from basic office policy, the way the office actually runs, to big decisions on cases and policies for the district. And as an assistant DA, you may see that happening, but until you have to make the decisions, it's not something you've been able to spend a lot of time preparing for.
With 10 new assistant district attorneys sworn in with Niemann, and several with decades of experience already in the office, the new district attorney will have several people alongside him in the new role. Woodall said, over the last few months, Niemann's willingness to empower, cooperate, and comfort those colleagues has stood out to him. When Niemann was asked about his priorities over his first days on the job, his focus was on that staff, meeting with all of his team across District 15B and continuing the next steps of transition to his leadership.
We started laying the groundwork for that, but it doesn't sit the same until you actually are fully in the office. So I plan to go to Chatham County first thing tomorrow, and I'll probably be back here either the latter part of tomorrow. If not, I'll definitely be back here by Wednesday and having those same conversations, trying to, on an individual basis, send some of the messages I was sending out there about how I'm here to support you, I have your back, what can I do to help you succeed?
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
Thank you, Brighton. You can find a print version of that story by visiting chapelboro.com. Duke Energy was called into the governor's office to explain the Christmas blackouts yesterday. They say the blackouts came after the cold weather caused a spike in demand, coupled with some freeze-related equipment failures at some of their coal and natural gas plants. And this came as a software failure made some of the blackouts last longer than initially intended. Governor Cooper issued a statement yesterday directing Duke Energy to take steps to prevent a similar issue from happening again and to improve communication with customers. Meanwhile, yesterday we told you about the State Utilities Commission's recommendations for Duke Energy to reduce carbon emissions. And while the plan still draws criticism from environmental advocates for not limiting the power company's reliance on burning fossil fuels, the bipartisan law that resulted in the commission's recommendations are part of a larger trend of climate legislation getting support from the left and the right. This comes as data shows the past 7 years for Earth were the warmest on record. But in the U.S., there were several pieces of legislation taking aim at better addressing the country's contributions to global warming. Ashley Ward is a senior policy associate at Duke University's Nicholas Institute for Energy, Environment, and Sustainability, and a frequent guest on Climate Thursdays here on News on the Hill. Last week when she was on the show, she was looking back at 2022 and highlighting some of the key pieces of legislation that make her optimistic going forward into 2023.
I think legislatively, I'm not sure that we could say there's ever, at least in my lifetime, been a more productive year. You know, we had the bipartisan Infrastructure and Jobs Act, the CHIPS Act, the Inflation Reduction Act, $370 billion for climate in that one alone. And then, of course, at the end of the year, the omnibus bill that just passed that actually, you know, looped back around and picked up some of the things that had been missing in some of the other bills. So, you know, I don't know how we could look back at 2022 and not say that it has been quite clearly one of the most successful years for climate policy. As a moment of hope, I think, for 2023, 2022 was all about setting us up for the clean energy transition. What I want to see in 2023 more than anything is for us to use 2023 as really talking about climate health. What does this mean now? We have the clean energy transition that we've started. We've really made a long way on this in this last year. How can we now transition to thinking about health and well-being in our communities and the impact the climate crisis has on us?
That's Ashley Ward with Duke's Nicholas Institute speaking. That full conversation from Climate Thursday can be found by heading to our audio archives over at chapelboro.com. Back in Chapel Hill now, where police are still looking for 71-year-old Russell Grant Corvey. He's been missing since December 21st, and he was last seen on Pritchard Avenue Extension near University Gardens. Please contact Chapel Hill Police if you have any information about his whereabouts. And you can find an article on chapelboro.com with more information. Time now for sports, and we start by looking at basketball. There's a big game tonight for the UNC men's team, trying to get back on the winning track with their first game of 2023. They'll be tipping off at 9 p.m. in the Dean Dome against the Wake Forest Demon Deacons. And Wake Forest looking pretty good this year. They're 2-1 in ACC play, and one of those wins is against Duke. Carolina, meanwhile, is looking to bounce back after a loss at Pitt on December 30th. Here's what UNC coach Hubert Davis had to say about Wake and his thoughts on returning home.
They are a very good basketball team. They've got really good guard play that can make shots, but also put themselves in a position where they're attacking the basket and they can distribute. They're always extremely well coached and a very good defensive team. And I'm sure they're coming here with a lot of confidence after back-to-back ACC wins, as you mentioned, against Virginia Tech and also Duke. And so, but we're looking forward to that challenge of playing them. We're looking forward to being on our home floor and being back at home. The Pittsburgh game ended a stretch where we were away from home 8 out of the 10 games. So whether it was a true road game or a neutral site game, that's a lot. That's a lot.
The familiar voice of head coach Hubert Davis. 97.9 The Hill's coverage of tonight's game begins at 7:30, with Countdown to Tip-Off with Brighton McConnell. Preseason rankings have been announced for the lacrosse teams. And on the men's side, not surprisingly, the ACC did very well in those preseason rankings. UNC checks in at number 17. Virginia is first in the country, and Duke's also in the top 10 at number 7. Schedule was released for men's lacrosse. They get started on February 7th when they welcome Mercer to Dorrance Field. On the women's side of things, they are the defending national champions, and they start the season ranked number 1 in the nation. They'll get started on February 11th, hosting James Madison at Dorrance Field. A little bit of NFL news now. Sam Howell has been announced as the starting quarterback this weekend for the Washington football team. They play Dallas on Sunday.